Hi, ladies, and welcome to the Story Night podcast. I'm Jessica Campbell, and stories are my passion. It's my honor to host this podcast where real women share real stories of real hope. Each episode features one woman sharing her personal story with you. Too often, we fall into the traps of comparison and judgment, but what if we took the time to hear each other's real stories? Let's remember that we all have a story, and our stories matter. We're so glad you've joined us on this podcast journey. May you find hope and encouragement in this episode's story. Hi, ladies, and welcome back to the Story Night podcast. If this is your first time finding us, welcome. We're so glad you're here. It's a great idea to check out episode one because that tells you the vision and history and purpose of Story Night. And just to give you an understanding of what exactly is Story Night, this is a community outreach where we get a chance to hear women share their stories. And this is only episode 13, but already we have covered topics such as adoption, abuse, bulimia, suicidal thoughts, mission work, infertility, assault, postpartum depression, preeclampsia, autism, and a host of other much more lighthearted and fun topics as well. But the point of that is just to say that the women in your community, your neighbors, your friends, your family members, there's so much more to their stories than you probably even realize. And that is why I love getting to do this, to get to hear people's true stories and let them encourage other women. So, without further ado, I get to introduce you to my teaching buddy and my neighbor, Sarah. Thank you so much for being willing to do this. I know coming on a podcast to tell your story is a lot, and I am really grateful that you are willing to kind of step out and do this because I know so much of your story will be very relatable to so many women who need that reminder that they are not alone and that they can get through these things and to just have that sense of hope. That's the whole point of doing this.
Yes. Yeah.
But before we tell your story, would you introduce yourself to the listeners?
Yes, yes. Thank you so much for having me. I'm Sarah. I have three beautiful littles at home, just turned 1, 3, and 5. I'm a teacher, teach fourth grade, have for 10 years now. And I have developed a huge passion for helping build community among mothers and support for especially new moms, passion for nutrition, and just kind of seeing what else is out there to build community and support for women.
Yeah. I mean, you think that there's so much available in the community, and there is, and yet it always baffles me how few women seem to be able to find that. Mm-hmm. And trying to make that bridge where all of the different organizations and community groups that are available can actually find yes. all of the women who are looking for that and longing for that and wanting to get connected
yes.
and build those relationships. And that is what we do at Story Night. In fact, normally I share this at the end of the episode, but this seems like an appropriate time to remind everybody that in addition to this podcast, we do 4 live events a year. And our spring Story Night is coming up on May 15th. That is around the corner, ladies. And you don't want to miss it. These events are so fun. They're free. You just need to get a ticket at storynighthope.com. This is a great event for ladies of all ages, all backgrounds. Just come to the Grand Ballroom on 3rd Street, downtown McMinnville. There should be about 200 women there. You will have snacks, a chance to visit with each other and just mingle. And then we'll get to hear Bethany Palacios share her story. She was an orphan in Liberia. She was adopted. Now she is Miss Black Oregon, and there is so much in between those two points of her life, so you don't want to miss her inspirational story. We do have a little surprise for all the ladies at the end of the event, and we will be revealing the location, date, and speaker for our summer Story Night event. So with that, pause the podcast right now, go get your tickets at storynighthope.com, and then come back to hear Sarah's story. Okay, so assuming you've gotten your ticket, good job, ladies. Now let's get to hear Sarah's story. We're going to start at the beginning.
Yes.
Where were you born?
I grew up in Northern California in the Bay Area. I was lucky enough, my mom taught at a private school, so I got to attend that preschool through senior year. It was a college prep school. It just set me up for success in so many ways. And I feel very lucky that that is where she worked and that is where I got to go to school. It was just me and my brother. I mean, we had a pretty quiet, simple childhood. I feel like I hear stories from a lot of friends now as adults, you know, about the wild things they did as a kid or as a teenager. I just...
You were easy to raise.
Yes, I guess so.
Hopefully your kids are treating you with the same, you know, respect.
My daughter and I are not the same. But that is part of this story. Yep. And I love the ways we are different. So growing up in the Bay Area, and especially in this private school environment, there was a lot of pressure to always be perfect, to be more, to do more. And I didn't really know any different growing up. I was a strong student. I was involved in lots of activities, theater, sports. I even studied abroad when I was a senior in high school.
Oh, where?
In Spain.
Oh, fun.
Yes. Oh, it was.
How's
amazing.
Your Spanish?
Well, that's relevant in later.
Okay. To be continued.
And I would work every summer. I was always babysitting. Like I did, you know, all the things. I always knew I wanted to be a teacher. So I was looking at programs in education. At my high school, it was expected as a college prep school that you were going to a four-year college. I actually was embarrassingly old before I knew that that wasn't expected of everyone everywhere. So my perspective was very skewed. I was actually at graduation very embarrassed to admit I was going to University of Portland because it wasn't an Ivy League, because I wasn't going to be a doctor or a lawyer, you know.
Yeah.
So there was that pressure. And so coming to Oregon, I was pretty against visiting the University of Portland on my college tour. I was not interested in continuing on my journey with another private Catholic school like I had been at for preschool through senior year.
Right.
But I stepped onto the campus and knew this is where I am meant to be immediately. And it was not long at UP before I knew, like, I'm staying in Oregon. I love it here. It's a different environment.
For sure. There's this thing that comes from the sky called rain.
I know. It's fascinating. Absolutely.
One fellow Californian to another, I was like, wow.
There was also some snow. That was very exciting.
Green plants.
What?
You were actually allowed to water your front yard.
Yeah. So many different things.
I mean, that could be a whole podcast episode.
It really could. But there was also just a different vibe, a different mentality where living in Portland, people were genuinely pumped to work in a coffee shop. And I love that people are happy and they're not competing. And I'm sure people are somewhere, but
yeah,
it's a different atmosphere. Yeah. And so I knew early on I was staying in Oregon. I wanted to stay here. I, again, loved school. I was in the honors program. I won the Dean of Education Award my senior year. I graduated cum laude. So, like, on paper, I was doing all the things.
Checking all the boxes.
Checking all the boxes, which
That's
is another theme.
Preschool.
I'm very good at checking boxes. Yeah. Yes.
Teachers like to check boxes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But in reality, the pressure that I was putting on myself was mounting. I was going for a double master's in Spanish also. Tried to study abroad in Spain again and ended up having a complete meltdown, massive week-long panic attack, had to be flown home and take a semester off.
That's really scary when you're in another country.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, it's scary when you're home, but like
yes.
to be out of your, you know, community.
Yes. And suddenly all of the Spanish I'd spent my whole life learning just was not in my brain, which made it scarier. And at the time, I was wildly embarrassed, obviously, you know, that I had this happen. And I think about this all the time. My dad said, you know, in a few years from now, you're going to look back and this is just going to be a blip. Like, you are not even going to think about this happening. And I knew he was right at the time, logically.
Right, but emotionally.
But emotionally, that was a lot to process.
Yeah.
And I worked really hard to still graduate on time, got my teaching license. I was hired at my first job before graduation. It was at Washer, the same school I'm at now.
Oh my gosh.
So I've been there my whole career. I'm really enjoying it. So this is kind of the beginning of that theme for me of feeling like I checked all the boxes and things didn't quite go the way I expected.
Which every human on the planet, if they have lived long enough, will relate with that statement.
Exactly, yes. So as I continued, checking those boxes of I got established in my career, I got my master's in education, I bought a house, I got married, and finally I had reached that point of everything I had ever wanted, we were going to have kids. You know, like being a mom has just always been my dream above everything else. And that was all I ever wanted. So I felt like, okay, I've done everything right, quote unquote, you know, have you on the quotes there, but
yeah,
I checked the boxes.
You fulfilled your plan.
I did each step of the plan in the order I felt that society told me I should.
Right. Do this by this age, this by this age, this by this. And it's not that that's bad or like that those things are, I mean, there's a reason why.
Sure.
Culture suggests doing things a certain way,
yes.
right? And so, like us, teachers like plans. We map it all out. We have our scope and sequence. And like, this is the end goal. And I start here. And if I do A, B, and C, ta-da.
Exactly. And again, on paper, I had accomplished everything. I was successful, you know, by those definitions. So we became parents for the first time in April of 2020 when the world was completely shut down.
Right.
And that was hard. I know there's a lot of parents out there that can agree that was becoming a parent is hard. Becoming a parent in the middle of a pandemic when nobody is around, nobody can come visit. My whole family was still in California at the time.
Yeah. And for anybody who might be listening to this podcast, I don't know, 10, 20 years in the future, who's a little rusty on their history. I mean, April 2020, this is like weeks after the world shut down.
Quite literally, yes.
And everyone was told, stay in your house. You may not see anybody. We're on lockdown. There was very little, I guess, knowledge or information at the time. I mean, I feel like a lot more. We've learned a lot more since then, right?
Yes.
But at the time, everyone's already kind of terrified. Opinions are flying. It's just chaos and a lot of fear.
Yes.
There's already enough fear of having a newborn.
Right.
What's interesting, and I did not plan this, lady. If you, for those of you who have been listening to this podcast in order, you probably feel like we're on a theme because this is the third podcast in a row where somebody has had a baby during COVID times. I didn't do this on purpose. This is just, you know,
it happens.
Happenstance.
And I think what you mentioned about opinions is really relevant because, again, becoming a new parent, there's a lot of opinions. Everyone has opinions about the way we should parent or not parent. And so parenting during a pandemic, there were a lot of opinions.
So many.
Right. So everything was compounded. We were completely isolated as these brand new sleep-deprived parents. I got it in my head that I had to breastfeed this sweet baby, which is very silly, given that I believed then and still believe now that feeding a baby is what matters, a healthy, happy baby. And I don't know why, but it was so important to me to be successful with that. And so again, in the midst of a pandemic, I'm going back and forth to the lactation nurse all the time, wearing our masks and worrying I'm exposing baby to germs. And
this is a little girl.
Yes, little girl. And that was the beginning of my passion for wanting to support mothers through feeding their babies. I always find myself saying supporting breastfeeding, but what I've really come to realize is it is supporting mothers through feeding their baby because I needed someone to shake me back then and say, just give her a bottle and you will be happy and she will be happy and everyone will be healthy. And I have been blessed with two baby boys that loved breastfeeding. So I had that journey and looking back, I know that I would have been a lot happier. I think the newborn days would have been different if I had had someone that could have held my hand and said, it's okay to let go of that journey. You have a happy, healthy baby. And that's what matters.
This was with your first one.
This was with my very first. And again, there's no one else around.
Right.
So I think this was just something I got stuck on. We were at home by ourselves with nothing else going on.
I imagine too, there's some level of stress when up till that point, your whole life really, you had been able to check the box.
Exactly.
And to find, and to have something where like, I'm not, why can't I check
why can't
this
I
perfectly?
Check the, well, and in hindsight, you know, I had done all the birthing classes at the hospital and all of that. And I admittedly completely tuned out during the C-section part because that wasn't going to be me. And then I ended up in an emergency cesarean.
Of
and
course.
So again, it wasn't the birth I expected. And then I couldn't feed her as I expected. And then my sweet girl just did not sleep her whole first like 6 months of life. And so it was a lot. And becoming parents was hard for both of us in our own way.
And you're isolated.
And we were isolated.
That is huge.
Yes.
Huge.
Yes. So fast forwarding in time a little bit, the world's opening back up. We ended up with another beautiful baby boy. We had a lot of beautiful, happy moments and a lot of challenges as well. And suddenly I found myself a single mom of 3 under 5. And I shouldn't say suddenly, because it wasn't sudden. It was a long time coming, and it was well thought out, and I have no regrets about any decisions that were made. But it felt sudden in the sense that it never felt like it would be real. When things are really hard, I always had the mentality that I committed to this marriage and it is forever. And the idea that it wouldn't be really just didn't seem real until it was. And there are times where you know you're making the right decision, but that doesn't make it an easy decision.
No.
You know?
And you factor in the littles. I mean, because you, the youngest, and it's like, here's baby number three.
Well, so was little. We had actually split, and a week later found out I was pregnant with number three. So I found myself at home pregnant with my full-time job with a one-year-old and a three-year-old going through a divorce. And this was really hard to stomach because, again, I felt cheated. I felt like it wasn't fair because I checked all the boxes.
Right.
And it didn't feel fair that I was in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Because again, the culture says you do A, B, and C,
exactly.
Then you get D, E, and F.
Yes.
And when you do your A, B, and C, and the circumstances do not match your expectations, that is a lot for people to process.
Well, and logic tells me that, you know, things happen to people all the time, right? It was a silly way of thinking for me to hold on to that. But I also couldn't help but be a little frustrated and resentful that, you know. So I think what this next step really spurred for me was realizing that more had to change than just my marriage, because at the root of it, I had lost who I was. I was drowning in motherhood and this mentality that I wanted to be this Pinterest mom, this Instagram mom that, you know, worked like I didn't have kids, but mothered like I didn't have a full-time job. I wanted the perfect, beautiful house. I wanted my kids to have all of my attention all the time. And there just wasn't enough of me. And so finding myself in this situation, that pregnancy, while not according to plan and on paper seeming like the worst possible timing, was actually the biggest blessing. I mean, that my baby's a blessing either way, but I
the timing.
It forced me to accept help and to learn how to accept help, to learn that it was okay to need help, and to learn that I was actually a better mother because I was accepting help from other people.
Can we park on that point, please?
Yes.
Can every woman rewind and listen to that 17 times? That it's okay to ask for help. And it's okay to accept the help, and that you are a better human, mother, wife, whatever, fill in the blank, if you do allow other people to help.
That was a hard lesson for me to swallow. And I think back again to all those sleepless nights beating myself up that I couldn't feed my baby the way I wanted to, when in reality, if I had accepted help, it could have been different. And then fast forwarding to this point and learning how to accept help when people offered was so big. And instead of feeling weak, I felt loved. And instead of feeling like I'm failing my kids, I felt like I am finally stepping up and doing what they deserve, and allowing other people to support them in the areas that I can't. Even if it's just something as simple as dropping dinner by or bringing me coffee, because I just need that little smile. Those little things make a big difference.
I want to make a point too, that when people are offering to help, they genuinely are offering to help.
Yes.
And that if you accept the help, you are not inconveniencing them or burdening them. You're actually blessing them. People feel blessed when they can help somebody else. And that is true of the vast majority of humanity.
The hardest part for me is when someone would say, how can I help? Because I didn't know.
Yeah.
And I think that was where I struggled the most, was realizing, okay, I need help, but I don't know what I need help with. And so once I began having some people taking initiative and helping without necessarily waiting for me to accept it, I realized, oh, wow, I feel so supported and I can actually ask for this. And I had this mentality that people were going to judge me, that I had done something wrong, you know, ending up as a single mom pregnant by myself. And that was just not the case. I was floored by the support I received. And that also then fueled my inspiration of, I want to bottle this for other moms, because we shouldn't have to hit rock bottom to feel this community.
Yes. And sometimes we're in a season where it's hard for us to offer that help and we just really need it. But to know that it's okay if you're in a needy season, because at some point you'll be in a giving season.
Yes.
And you can pay that forward in the future. Like go ahead and accept the help.
Yes.
So here you are with three little ones, no family that's in the state at this time.
So my mom had moved up by this point.
Okay.
She came up to be my childcare once the world opened up again and right. I was back at work full time. So that was a huge blessing. And then last fall, my dad moved up. So I do now have my parents in town, which has been awesome.
That's huge.
But I've just had so many friends and coworkers doing little things. Like, one just showed up with her husband and he mowed my front lawn while I was too pregnant to take care of it. You know, just little things like that, that were so kind and so thoughtful.
Right.
And I felt very seen, which I think moms often don't feel seen for all the things that we do all the time. And so it felt really good to feel seen.
Yeah.
And what you mentioned earlier about being in a giving season, I feel like this all spurred then my inspiration to want to use this to help others. I admittedly struggled with postpartum depression after my third. We had signed divorce papers the week before he was born. It was just, you know, again, not the scenario I had envisioned for myself, but again, the right choice. And coming out of that on the other end, all I could think was, I need to do something different. I can't just go to work and drown in motherhood and not be happy, because this is all I've ever wanted. All I ever wanted was to be a mom and to be a teacher and to have this family and beautiful home that I have. And so that set me towards a few paths. The first being that I decided I wanted to become a lactation consultant so I could help other moms. And so the summer after my youngest was born, I took classes, took exams, and became a certified lactation education counselor, which was really exciting.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. And it has allowed me to give back to so many moms. I get messages all the time from close friends and from acquaintances who just saw on social media that I was doing this, that I had shared, you know, I'm really passionate about this and I'm newly certified. And I've had quite a few moms reach out to me with questions, and it has felt so, so good to be able to support other new moms in their journey and to tell them, like, you're not crazy. You're not alone. Like, you can do this. You are the best mom for your baby. It feels like all of those sleepless nights where I was really struggling, they serve a purpose now. I can support somebody else through that.
And that wasn't all you did.
No, I also joined a health and wellness company. I noticed quickly that I was feeding my children and not myself, and then wondering why I was so exhausted, why I was so cranky, and realizing the crucial part that nutrition plays in both physical and mental health. I have always been a very active person, and it is hard to be active when you have lots of little, I mean, I should say, you're always active when there's lots of littles.
Yes, there's a different kind of active.
It's a different kind of active. As someone who used to love going for a jog or going to yoga class, like, I just, for a moment, I was in the season where I could not go to an hour-long yoga class. And so finding those meaningful ways to have mindful movement and fuel my body appropriately. One of my good friends from college was working for this company, Arbonne, and she said, you know, I see you and I think this would make a big difference for you. And I tried these supplements, these products, and I felt the difference. And at the time, it was that simple. I felt more energy. I felt my mood lifting. I felt like I am fueling my body. And other people started asking me, how are you this awake? Your baby's not sleeping. Like, you know, where is this coming from? And I quickly realized I can share this with other people too. It feels like there's a big stigma around social selling and network marketing, but realizing there's also a lot of potential there. And I have again loved being able to work with other primarily moms who are tired of feeling tired and tired of feeling like they're not fueling their bodies, and being able to help them. I am going to Arbonne's Global Training Conference in Vegas next month.
Oh, wow.
Really getting to like participate. But beyond that, there's also a community there. Yes. I have made some amazing, amazing friends through this community because it's a lot of like-minded women
right.
who are in it because we all are passionate about health and wellness and helping others and supporting each other's businesses. I mean, we have nothing to gain from each other being successful other than just wanting to see each other succeed. I remember the very first time that we all sat down for dinner together, all of us that were local in the area got together and someone made a comment about co-parenting. And I perked up. And by the end of that dinner, I was in tears because I felt so seen. They accepted and embraced when I admitted where I was in my season of life. They had their own wisdom to impart. There was no judgment. It was just, again, another supportive community where as soon as I was able to be vulnerable with them and admit that things were hard, I had so much support.
Yeah. And for anybody who does not know what Arbonne is, so there's more than just the supplements and some nutrition. I mean, there's the whole makeup line and all these things. And really the heart behind Arbonne is that you're getting clean products without the toxins and the chemicals and the stuff that's in so many of our products.
Yes.
So hard to get clean things.
Yes, because it's a global company, they follow European standards. And so there's over 2,000 banned ingredients that we generally find in our products here in the States. And they pride themselves on their packaging, reducing waste, reducing carbon emissions. Like they're a B Corp. So just wanting to be really good for the planet, not just making money. It's a company I can stand behind and feel good supporting.
Right. The Arbonne products aren't things that you can like buy on Amazon.
No.
And so they're going through people like you who are not, you're not hired as like a salesperson.
No. I'm able to just provide essentially my own testimony to the way it has helped me in my life and share that with others. And then from there, we have groups that get together and chat, like cheer each other on through movement challenges or health and wellness challenges. And then there's testimonies from there of ways that women have just felt their health makes such a big difference. And it's also an incredible business opportunity when you really commit to it. There are women that have been able to take their family on vacation, or their Arbonne check pays for their groceries, you know, things like that. That again, I went through such a period of feeling so stuck in I am losing myself that this just feels like one more door that has opened, a new community that has opened. I am looking at certifications in nutrition because it has just spurred my passion to continue learning more about fueling our bodies appropriately, especially looking at certifications in prenatal and postpartum nutrition to, again, support moms because we're growing humans or birthing humans or feeding humans and expected to just live life like normal. And even if we're not giving birth, just being a mom is so much. It is so all-consuming.
At every stage.
At every stage. We need to be able to take care of ourselves to be the best mom for them. It's really, really important to me that my kids, especially my daughter, see me be happy and not work so hard to please other people or to check boxes. I don't want her to grow up thinking that she has to check everyone else's boxes. I want her to be able to ask herself what she's passionate about and do it because it makes her happy.
Yeah. And even when she's able to create her own boxes, having the ability to process or cope or pivot when the boxes you chose don't turn out the way you thought they were going to.
Yes.
Or maybe not in the timeline that you expected. That's another piece.
That's a huge part because, again, I have dreams of one day this business bringing moms together and bringing resources to mothers I am looking at, like I said, those certifications. I want to do one in perinatal mental health and all of these things because the moms in our community could be coming together and getting so much support from each other. And so I have these big goals, but they are going to take a long time. And I have to be okay with that because I am a mom working full time and it's a slow, steady process. And I think back to taking that semester off in college, or I think back to those early days in my separation and divorce where like my therapist kept saying, it's early days, it's early days. And I kept thinking, how is this really ever going to change? I feel so stuck. Same within college. I was so embarrassed that I had to take that semester off, and everything is a phase. My kids not sleeping is a phase. Now they are, you know, it makes me realize that I can just keep chipping away at those goals, keep checking my boxes in the timeline that I can,
Giving yourself that grace.
giving myself that grace and letting my kids see me enjoy those things. That I enjoy yoga, I enjoy nutrition, I enjoy playing with them and not, and also not drowning in isolating myself in motherhood, that it can be a community.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So many encouraging points there for so many ladies listening who probably needed every single one of those reminders. As we're getting ready to wrap up, I'm just curious because I can imagine how many ladies are going, yes, that sounds amazing. I agree. How? Because if you think of your schedule, you are teaching full time. Anybody who is not a teacher who thinks that teachers just work from like 8 to 3 and then they have the whole summer off and all these breaks has never been a teacher. So, it is so much more than a full-time job. And all of those quote unquote breaks, they really aren't so much because you're always doing something for your
Always.
classroom and your students. And yeah, the hours are much longer than I think outsiders might realize. So you are doing that and raising 3 children at ages that require a lot of time and a lot of attention. And you're doing this as a single mom. And yet you're also trying to exercise, take care of your body, do this Arbonne that you're passionate about, work on these certification programs. So I guess the big question, like, how? Because when you say that out loud, you think, do you ever sleep?
Oh gosh. Well, it depends if my kids are sleeping. That's really
Right.
I don't have an answer for that because I still overwhelm myself with all these big goals and it's not a smooth process where I have it all figured out. I still forget to make myself dinner at night sometimes. I still miss yoga for a whole month. You know, it's really clunky.
That's a really good word.
Clunky.
It really is. I mean, I think
Yes.
it's a, I guess I should say it's a freeing word
Yes.
that you're not offering women, hey, this is how you do it. Schedule this at this time, this at this time. And if you do this, that, and the other, everything's going to have this perfect work-life balance and happily ever after. That's so real.
Yes,
It's clunky.
it's clunky, and I am one of those people that loves a good like Monday start, or it's a new month, it's a new year. Like I want to make this perfect, and I want to have my full complete schedule. And then you know you're a couple hours in or a day in, and it's just not going the way you planned.
Bunking
Yep. So what I've really been trying to do is, and again, this is a learning process that I have not mastered. I try to focus on my wins. So every night, I'm writing down 3 positive things that happened that day, whatever that might be. Do I do that every night consistently? Nope. But is that my goal? Yes. I try to look at my attainable goals. I try to think about, okay, what am I doing today that is going to make me feel like when I go to bed tonight that I have done something. And some days I need to know in my heart that just sitting out in the garden and playing with my kids is that something. And that is okay. That is my productive thing for the day. So I don't have all the answers for that because I'm fitting things in where I can. I'm trying really hard to make time for things by asking for help, by knowing that I don't have to be present with my kids all day, every day, 24 hours a day, that it is okay for them to have time with their grandparents or have a play date. You know, those things make them actually good independent people, and that I am not a bad mom.
You're doing amazing. And even just to prepare for this, I mean, I reached out saying, would you have any interest in being a guest on this podcast? And I'm so grateful that you said yes. And even just since that moment, right, we've had to reschedule.
Mm-hmm.
You, bless your heart, were finishing up some thoughts for this, like during your lunch break today.
Yes.
And here we are. And you know, so you could even say like, well, yeah, we clunked our way to get to this point.
Yes.
But I'm so glad you did. Because this is going to bless so many women.
I hope so, because I just know that once I realized other women, other moms saw me, I just felt so, I felt like I could do it. And I want that for other moms too, other women to know whether it is motherhood or something else, that you are seen.
Yeah.
And you are doing it, even if it feels like you're stuck, even if it feels like this is the biggest mess. We keep moving forward.
Yeah.
And even if it's slow, it is steady progress.
Well, I love that. And, you know, ladies, I'll put in the episode notes your Arbonne link, because I imagine some people might be curious to know more or check it out. And gals, you should really find Sarah on social media, because she's fun. There is a whole like goofball side of you that I did not know existed.
And that's been really fun too, is discovering the fun that social media can be.
Yeah.
Discovering the community I can find there of like-minded women who can laugh with me.
Oh my gosh, so funny. Because I mean, all of my time with you has really been spent like in the classroom, when I get to pop into your fourth grade class and bring in the clay and do a messy art lesson with all of your students, and just seeing like, here's this, you know, very polished teacher who does a great job. And then you ended up moving into our neighborhood, which was super fun. And then we, you know, the kids get to see each other sometimes. And then one day I like see this little reel on, I don't know, Facebook or something. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's Sarah. And then it's been really fun
being to see. Ridiculous.
But it's so fun. It's so real.
It is, you know, and I think that's what I'm learning is, again, social media can get a really bad rap for being fake,
right?
And setting unrealistic expectations. And I feel so good showing the messy side of motherhood, showing the fun of nutrition, showing that like my house is a mess, but my kids are really enjoying making the mess. And that I can dance and be weird. And there are other women out there that feel seen and feel like, hey, I like to dance in my kitchen too.
I just picture, I don't know, the dichotomy, I guess, from what you described as your childhood in terms of this college prep school where you get all the grades and you check all the boxes and we're going to, and then this woman that just kind of comes to life in front of a camera for fun. And just, I love that.
And that is, a lot of my kids bring that out in me. Like I mentioned at the beginning, my daughter's personality is, she is fiery and strong and all the things I want her to be. She is not that quiet, soft-spoken people pleaser that I was growing up. And so I'm inspired by that. And I want her to see that fire reflected. I want that energy so that she grows up continuing to be strong and not questioning herself and not trying to fit in someone else's box. I want that for my boys as well. I just, you know, can identify with, I guess, her growing up. Yeah, they bring out the fun and the chaos.
So much chaos in the best way.
Oh, the best.
Oh, thank you so much for fitting this into your schedule, for taking time to do this. I know that women will find a lot of encouragement in your story. And ladies, just as that reminder, find that community. Those communities are out there. Those groups are out there. And sometimes we have to just do a little searching. And for anyone within driving distance of McMinnville, Oregon, we would just love to see you at the ballroom on May 15th. And this fun time of women getting together and being encouraged and building relationships. That's what Story Night is all about. So remember to get that free ticket at storynighthope.com. I would love to see you there. And if you are feeling like you don't know anybody, please reach out to us. Our team, we will save you seats. We will, you can help us pass out name tags. You can do all the things. We just want to have you there. You might even get to meet Sarah there and talk with her about her Arbonne and motherhood and so many other fun topics. So come hang out with us. We would love to have you. Thank you again, Sarah, so much for doing this. And thank you, ladies, for tuning in to this episode of the Story Night podcast. We hope that you are blessed and encouraged and come back next time for our next story. Thank you so much to Representative Lucetta Elmer for providing this platform so we can keep bringing you real stories from real women of real hope. Until next time, remember, you have a story, and your story matters, and you are not alone.